We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, the 9th of March. Pastor Ken Jones joins us to round off this first hour of the program. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. We're going to be talking about preaching Christ. You might say, why talk about preaching Christ? Doesn't that happen everywhere? You drive down the road, you see the church sign. Most of them have it incorporated into the sign itself. It's not one of those changeable elements in their church sign out on the highway. We preach Christ, preaching Christ, Christ-centered, something about that? You say you haven't seen any of those signs. Well, maybe it's less and less the hallmark of the Christian church to preach Christ. And if we're not preaching Christ, what are we preaching? The Christian or something else? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor Ken Jones is pastor of Greater Union Baptist Church in Compton, California, co-host of the national radio program, The White Horse Inn. He's going to be speaking at the St. Louis Spring Theology Conference, April 24th and 25th. His presentation is titled, Preaching Christ from Genesis to Revelation. Ken, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for having me. Good talking to you again.
Make the case that the church needs to be preaching Christ, what that means today.
Well, preaching Christ, and it's interesting. I was listening in your intro there, and you're speaking of how it's hard to escape the name of Christ in much of the preaching and teaching that takes place in the church. But I think an apostolic pattern for preaching Christ is to recognize, number one, that he is the substance and center of all of Scripture. And therefore, to preach him is to preach him as he's presented in the Scripture as the prophet, priest, and king, promised Messiah that God has established as far back as Genesis 3:15.
Okay, you talk about Jesus being the substance and center of the Bible. So if a church claims to have Bible-based teaching and preaching, or we're a Bible-believing congregation, they should rightly understand the Bible, it seems, with Christ as its center.
Absolutely, and I think that's probably the missing link, even with all of the verbiage that gives at least lip service to the idea of preaching Christ. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 makes that same challenge to his readers there, and he says that if someone comes along and preaches another Christ or another Jesus or another spirit or another gospel, then I'm afraid that you would be susceptible to it. And so the issue then is, what does he mean by preaching another Jesus? And I think one of the ways we've seen that in the contemporary church is by preaching Jesus as a life coach, preaching Jesus as a role model, preaching Jesus as a young adult single. All of these things are just additives or just formulas as to how we are to model or emulate something that is demonstrated in Christ, and therefore it is preaching Jesus in a literal sense in that you are using him as your model, but it's not the preaching of Christ that is the center of apostolic preaching.
Several years ago, I interviewed Ted Haggard, then president of the National Association of Evangelicals, and he said, look, when we're in the David material, we preach about David. When we're in the Solomon or the Moses material, we preach about Solomon or Moses. You talk about preaching Christ from Genesis to Revelation. Give us an example here. Christ in Genesis?
Well, Christ, well first off, before I can just give a simple illustration of it, which I think is clear, by the way, in Genesis 3:15, he's promised there as the seed of the woman. And the very fact that Adam and Eve are able to walk out of the garden alive, covered with the skins of an animal, points to the person and work of Christ. So, but the pattern is this: that Christ is, he is not necessarily explicitly present in every passage, and he's not present in every passage in the same way. But the person and work of Christ permeates all of Scripture, either by way of promise, by way of type, shadow, or symbol, or in as we get as the Scriptures are progressively reveal the person of Christ, we see him by way of prophetic promise, or we see him by way of fulfillment, and all of Scriptures point to Christ either in his first coming or in his second coming, and it will be explicitly, sometimes implicitly, sometimes it will be in the types and the shadows, for instance, in Leviticus, with all of the sacrifices and all of the furnishings of the tabernacle. The book of Hebrews tells us that all of those things find their substance and fulfillment in Christ.
Okay, so this really gives some clarity, Pastor Jones, to the whole of Scripture, if one understands that there is that it all kind of hangs on the single thread of Christ in promise and eventually in fulfillment, rather than seeing, in particular, the Old Testament as simply a collection of historical accounts or a collection of stories and anecdotes about various famous people of old.
Right. Yeah, character studies, which we've fallen prey to again in this generation of preaching. We find character studies and we find role models and examples, but really the heart and substance of Scripture is the person and work of Christ. And Jesus himself, by the way, in Luke 24, the resurrected Christ, when he encountered the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were despondent, and when Jesus asked the reason for their despondency, their response is, aren't you familiar with the things that have happened? And they talk about Jesus and his crucifixion. And the interesting thing there is one of them says, we thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the one. But obviously that he couldn't be the one because of the things that happened to him. And then Jesus begins to, he opens up the Scriptures to them, beginning with the prophets and the Psalms, and he shows how all of these things had to happen. And then later in the same chapter, he goes to the other disciples, and he does the same thing. God takes them through all of the Old Testament Scripture and show how all of these things point to him.
Ken, how do we get to this point where if I go through the average town or city on a Sunday morning and stop for a few minutes into this church or that church, regardless of its denominational or non-denominational affiliation, I will hear some really good advice on how to deal with my wife or raise my kids. I might hear some financial advice, or I might hear some kind of group therapy, and none of it bad in and of itself, but less and less do I hear Christ crucified and risen from the dead for me. How did we get to this?
Ah, boy, it's a long journey. Obviously, you can go back to the New Testament, as I alluded to before. This seems to have been present with Paul's concerns in his epistles. We see it in 2 Corinthians. We see it also in Colossians, where you had other teachers that were preaching new other forms of spiritual formation or spiritual strength and other issues, so that Christ may have been preached, but as an additive and not the substance. And then by the time you get to early 20th century, the liberalism that J. Gresham Machen, for instance, so vigorously opposed, he argued against the same sort of tendency. So I think there have been a number of things that have contributed along the way to get our focus off of Christ, or as some have talked about, the assumption of the gospel, assuming the gospel, that the gospel is for evangelism, but once one comes to faith in Christ, now you need something else. So we have become increasingly human-centered in our preaching, and under the guise of being more relevant and more useful and practical, we've really lost the center of the Scriptures, which is the person and work of Christ.
Okay, we talked a minute ago about preaching Christ from Genesis. Let's go to the other end. How do dispensationalists like John Hagee, Jack Van Impe, Hal Lindsey, Tim LaHaye, and the others fail to preach Christ properly from the book of Revelation?
Well, I think if you don't understand that all of scriptures point to Christ, then you will have problems at various points along the way in your approach to the scriptures. And it will come out in spades by the time you get to the book of Revelation. So in other words, if you don't understand that all of scriptures preach to either the first coming, what will be fulfilled in the first coming of Christ, or in the second coming of Christ, then you really have no basis by which to understand the message of Revelation, which, by the way, the interesting thing about the book of Revelation, even before you get into the, for some people, the difficult symbolism of the book of Revelation, the very opening of the book presents Christ in an exalted state as being sovereign over all of the churches and all of human history. That's very clearly laid out in the first chapter of Revelation. And then you move into the letters to the seven churches, where, again, he is presented as sovereignly in control, even in the suffering of his people. So then once you move from the letters to the seven churches, what John is given is sort of a glimpse into the unfolding of human history and how all of these things still occur according to the sovereign purposes of the exalted Savior.
When we come
now,
back,
how they miss it, I really couldn't explain how they miss it. I did grow up in a dispensational church, but we were dispensational by default. And from what I can remember, one of the reasons they missed the triumph of Christ in the book of Revelation is because they didn't understand the sovereign promise of Christ from Genesis 3:15 and how all of the rest of the scriptures point to this reality.
Pastor Ken Jones is our guest. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. Our conversation on Preaching Christ continues this Monday afternoon, March the 9th.
How he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only Son. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me his body. Give me his blood.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Gayla Werdeman, Andrew Adams, Pastor Zabdi Lopez, Betty Mumi, Rebecca Alms, Ralph Ulrich, Jennifer Johnson, Shane Yonker, Thomas Morrison, and Tom Schreiner. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about Preaching Christ. Pastor Ken Jones is our guest. pastor of Greater Union Baptist Church in Compton, California, co-host of the national radio program, The White Horse Inn. He'll be speaking at the St. Louis Spring Theology Conference the 24th and 25th of April. His presentation, titled Preaching Christ from Genesis to Revelation. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. What does Christless and then therefore crossless preaching do, Ken?
Well, what it does is, among many other things, of course, it panders to our need to hear about ourselves, but really what it does is it reduces the gospel into law, which one of the things that I love about my Lutheran brethren is your commitment to clear law-gospel distinctives. One of the criticisms or observations that J. Gresham Machen made about the liberalism of his day, he claimed, number one, that it was different from biblical Christianity. And he says one of the things that makes them different is the gospel of liberalism is loaded with imperatives. It's almost exclusively given over to imperatives. Whereas the gospel, the Christian gospel, is an announcement of God's work through the person of Jesus Christ. So by not preaching Christ clearly and not preaching Christ according to the apostolic model, even if you use his name, even if you use Jesus as role model, what you're really doing is giving people in the place of the gospel of Christ what God has given us and done for us in Christ. What you're giving them are new laws, new rules for them to follow, that if you do this, then you will get that.
Well, in that vein, and since you mentioning Christ, but it's a different Christ, you talked earlier about other Christs, and I think usually Christians, when they hear that something like that, think, oh, he must be talking there about the Antichrist or someone who's going to come along and deny Christ, per se. But it sounds like these other Christs are very innocuous. I mean, they're
exactly.
Life coaches, and these other Christs are very friendly and helpful.
Well, in the same vein is what you get with what you got earlier in was about 2001 with Bruce Wilkinson's book, The Prayer of Jabez. And he says this prayer, he guarantees that this prayer God always answers, and this is the way to access the power of God. Well, that's really, even if you replace the prayer of Jabez with the prayer of Jesus or the footsteps of Jesus, this is what you're getting. And that is one of the subtle seductions of this deviation from Christ in our generation. People think they are hearing Christ preach because, as you mentioned, they are hearing him as life coach. They are hearing him as a formula. They're hearing him as a means to family happiness or the key to a healthy marriage. But they're not hearing him as the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the people of God. That's what they're not hearing. And if that's not what you're hearing, if all you're getting is once you preach Christ, or you hear Christ preached, and the end result is now this is what I need to do, then you haven't heard Christ preached.
You mentioned before that hardly anyone will argue that the cross needs to be preached for conversion, to make Christians, but then we go on to other things. How would you respond to someone who says, absolutely, let's make sure that we are very cross-focused in our evangelistic preaching. But come on, Christians need to know how to live.
Well, I would take them to the words of Peter in 2 Peter 1, that God has given us all things necessary for life and godliness in Jesus Christ. So therefore, we do need the gospel. Paul says to Titus that it is the grace of God that teaches us to say no to all unrighteousness. So therefore, even when it comes to sanctification, we need to hear the person and work of Christ expounded as he is presented in the different portions of Scripture. It's a mistake and a tragic mistake to think that we become saved by the gospel but then we are strengthened and are sanctified by something other than the gospel. I maintain that there is one-stop shopping in the cross of Christ.
Is it as bad today as it was when Paul addressed the exact same problem with the churches in Galatia?
Well, it is and probably worse because we have greater machinery in place to propagate the Jesus plus mentality, which is pretty much what he's addressing in Galatians. Now, but I would say this, that the problem addressed with the Galatian churches is slightly different from what he addresses in the Colossian church. In the Galatian churches, it was a matter of what it takes to be saved. Faith in Christ plus work is what those teachers were teaching, plus obedience to the law. So that's really at the point of saving faith. Whereas in the Colossian church, they probably, what they were doing was tacking on the law as a means of sanctification. So it might seem like a matter of semantics, but there's a very distinct difference. And that's why Paul's argument in Galatians is that if you begin with Christ, then you must be complete with Christ. And if you're looking to be justified by faith in Christ and the works of the law, then you're condemned by the whole law. Whereas his argument in Colossians is that you are complete in Christ, and therefore you don't have anyone to come along with any other rules about foods and days and diets and all of those things.
Okay, then, probably the objection that is lurking behind most of this, I think, is, come on, if I get into the pulpit or up onto the dais every Sunday and proclaim Christ and Him crucified, well, that's good, but I'm going to bore the people to death and I won't be able to grow my congregation with that kind of preaching. About a minute to respond.
Yeah, well, a couple things. One, we're one-trick ponies, to borrow the song title from Paul Simon. That's what we've been called to do. But secondly, it reveals a lack of confidence in the God who brings faith through the preaching of the Word. Our confidence is that God will be faithful to continue to nurture His people through that same gospel that He used to save them. And so we can't begin by trusting God and then rely on our own ingenuity and our own creativity to strengthen and sustain His people. God is always at work through His preached word, the Spirit and the Word working together to conform us to the image of Christ.
Finally, then, with only about 30 seconds, I mentioned Ted Hagar before, past president of the National Association of Evangelicals. He told me on this show that preaching needs to be more Bible-based rather than exclusively Christ-based. What's wrong with that statement?
Well, since I'm on your show, can I say that it's idiotic? I mean, how can it be Bible-based without being Christ-based? The two cannot be separated, and that's probably the problem that most evangelicals have.
Pastor Ken Jones is pastor of Greater Union Baptist Church in Compton, California, co-host of the national radio program, The White Horse Inn. He'll be speaking at a St. Louis Theology, Spring Theology Conference, April the 24th and 25th. His presentation will be titled Preaching Christ from Genesis to Revelation. You'll find more information on the St. Louis Spring Theology Conference under the on-demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Ken, thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, thank you for having me, Todd. Good talking to you again.
Folks, please stand with us as we preach Christ and Him crucified by making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. You can donate online, our website address, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Our website address again, issuesetc.org. Hour two of Issues Etc. is straight ahead. Pastor Matt Harrison will join us for the first 10 minutes. Oh, no, the first half of the hour. Good. He's executive director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care. We're going to talk about the theology of the cross, human suffering, the problem of evil in light of yesterday's shooting of a pastor shot dead in church at First Baptist Church in Maryville, Illinois, just around the corner from our LPR studios. Pastor Matt Harrison will be our guest. Then later in the second hour, Dr. David Prentice of the Family Research Council will join us for his thoughts on President Obama's announcement that he's lifting a ban on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. And then we'll round off today's program. Mark Silk of Trinity College Program on Public Values based in Hartford, Connecticut, will talk to us about a new survey showing some trends. A big survey, by the way. I think some 50,000 respondents over the course of several months on religious life in America. That's coming up in hour two of Issues, Etc. The gospel is the church's life because Christ himself, crucified and risen from the dead, is the church's life. When the church ceases to preach Christ and his cross, the church ceases to be the church, and the church gives up its life. I'm Todd Wilkin, hour two straight ahead.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.